scoot up a little bit. I brought some of my house here, mostly for my own benefit. I was like, I just wish everyone could just come to my house. That would just make it easier for me to just sit in my living room and I can just be in my cozy robe, you know? Wearing that to church, though, it's kind of, you know, whatever. So I'm a little shaky, but it's mostly because I'm cold. I'm like, I should have brought like a blanket or Snuggie or something. But I am sort of excited to be sharing today. The great thing about technology is that you can text somebody and say, hey, you want to preach in a couple weeks? And I'm like, sure, dot, 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 dot. But if you would have asked me in person, I would have been like, sure. But you don't see that over text. So they're like, great. So it was more of a sure. Okay. So here I am. Good morning. We'll see how it goes. Really, it'll be a success if what I hear myself saying in my head is actually what's coming out of my mouth. If those things line up, it's fine. It'll be great. So happy Mother's Day. Mothers are kind of a big deal, right? So I have to give my husband a little credit, though, because he's like, yeah, Mother's Day is hard because, you know, husbands are doing all the things. My husband gets the kids ready every week, and I sleep in. Every day is Mother's Day. Woo! So I got super lucky. I sleep in every weekend. Well, so just wanted to say, yes, he got pretty much everyone ready today, and I got myself ready. So, but yeah, I wanted to say happy Mother's Day. And of course, I would be sharing on Mother's Day. Brex asked me like several times throughout like the last year, like, hey, do you want to maybe share sometime? And I'm like, yes, sure, maybe. But then I'm like, okay, in my head, okay, but I don't want to talk about being a mom. And I don't want to talk about mom things because everything about my life is that. And I feel like whenever I share anything, it's like something about mothering or kids or families. I'm like, I don't want to do it. So, of course, here I am. It's Mother's Day. I'm sharing about being a mom. I can't get away from it. So I guess this is just my calling is to mother everywhere I go. So, yeah, I'm not going to give a traditional Mother's Day talk, but I did want to give all the moms a big shout out. And I think there's lots of ways to be a mom. So happy Mother's Day to moms, to adoptive moms, to stepmoms, to single moms, to grandparents helping raise their kids, to really great moms, to moms who feel like they weren't maybe very great. Happy Mother's Day to you, too. I think it's hard work being a mom. So I hope you guys all feel seen and celebrated today by somebody. Even if you're a mom figure to somebody, that's just as important as being a mom. Because I think Mother's Day is hard for people who don't have good relationships with their moms. And I know a lot of women stand in their place, and that's really important, too. So happy Mother's Day. Because there's not a Hallmark card for all those moms. There's no Hallmark card that's like, you weren't great, but I still love you. You know, that's not out there. But yeah, so for moms who feel like maybe you're not killing it at being a mom, you are. So it's good. So happy Mother's Day. I am actually going to be sharing about community. We've been talking a lot about community and relationships and being known by people and, you know, loving people within community. So I really wanted to talk about that, but from the perspective of a mom, because I have learned a lot about community from being a parent. Because if there were ever a group of people that were difficult to be in community with, it is my children. Preach. That's my whole sermon right there. So if you want to learn about community, start in your house with your family or the people that you live with, because those people are hard. They just let it all hang out all the time. So I've learned a lot about community from my kids, and it's been a huge blessing / struggle. I think those things can coexist, and they do. Every day. So that's what I'm going to be talking about. Let's look at my notes here and make sure I'm on track. because I don't know. I'm just kind of going. We'll see. Blah, 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 blah. Yeah, so I've learned a lot through parenting, and I think a lot of things that I apply to my kids really can apply to adults that I know and people that I'm in community with, because you really learn skills through parenting and how to be with people. And I think we love community. I think we like the idea of community sometimes more than we like the actuality of it. I think we want it and then we get it and we're like, what do we do with this? So I love authentic relationship, just being real with people, but it's also scary and hard because it requires a lot from us and it requires a lot from other people as well. And the thing that makes community so tricky is people, right? Right? Like, I love people, but the people part is really hard. I love to be hospitable. And when I think about community, I think about kind of this picturesque time of, you know, sitting at a beautiful table and having, you know, preparing this meal for people and just everyone laughing and talking and sitting together and enjoying this moment. And part of me, like, I love preparing food. I love hospitality. I love to have people sit at my table. But sometimes I want to do all that and then say, okay, guys, enjoy it. See you later. Here you go. I've set it up for you. You guys have a good time. And I look at, you know, sometimes with my kids, I think, man, I love like organizing my house and like doing the chore charts and the planning all the trips and all the stuff. I wish I could do all that and then hand it over to somebody else and say, good luck. Here you go. We want someone else to do the work part. And I think moving past just preparing the table into really sharing the table is a huge part of community. And so I'm kind of talking about that a little bit. So Jesus talks about a lot of things in Scripture, and most of those things are not the things that we like to get hung up on a lot of the time. So I'm actually just using one scripture today that's going to kind of go throughout. So if you guys want to look it up, you can. I didn't tell you what it was, so it's not going to be on the thing probably, but it's Matthew 22, verses 37 through 40. But I'm going to read it from the Message version. And it said, Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all of your passion and prayer and intelligence. This is the most important, the first on any list, but there is a second to set alongside it. Love others as well as you love yourself. These two commands are pegs. Everything in God's laws and the prophets hang from them. So Jesus is saying the greatest things that you can do in your life is to love God and love people. And that makes like a great bumper sticker. That is really hard to do in real life. Love God, love people. Yeah, I got it, right? But like the people are hard. It's hard. So the thing that makes people difficult is that they have issues and opinions, right? People have baggage. People are loud. People smell. Sometimes not the way you would want them to, right? People are demanding. And when I say people here, I have issues, I have opinions, I have baggage, I can be demanding, right? Like, we have our stuff. And I appreciate what John said a couple weeks ago about God having kind of a mom's heart, because I think that my kids have all these things, but I think the mom heart in me, the mom heart that God gave me, just keeps going back and keeps going back and keeps going back to people. It's this relentless pursuit of relationship. And I feel like God is our great example of that, especially through Jesus. And as moms with our children, we relentlessly go back for relationship. And I think that is community, right? It's just a fierceness that doesn't allow you to walk away. So I wanted to read a couple definitions, because we talk a lot about community and relationships. Those are kind of like vague umbrella terms. So I was like, well, what do I really mean when we even say that? Like, what does that even mean? So the definitions of community and relationship are community is a unified body of individuals. That's like a really generic thing, right? That could mean a lot of stuff. And it's people who share a commonality of location, interests, beliefs, other factors. Definition of relationship is the way in which two or more people or organizations regard and behave toward one another. And I think when you fuse those things together into this hybrid, that's really what I'm talking about. So when I say community today and when I'm kind of like talking about that, what I kind of mean is like a graciously inclusive relationship in your environment. And your environment can be your church environment, your home environment, your work environment, your where you live, Silverton environment. But just that graciously inclusive connection to your environment. So just kind of hear that when I say community, because I'm kind of using community and relationship really interchangeably here. It's kind of loosey-goosey. So like I said, my kids are tough. You've probably been around them or have been around some children somewhere, sometime. They all have common characteristics that, you know, are difficult sometimes. My house is wild often. Even my dogs have issues. Like I have a dog who needs like medication. Like our animals are crazy. Our kids are crazy. It is a wild zoo at our house. And I really like it that way. I haven't always liked it that way, but I really do. It does bring me a lot of joy now. So it's a great environment for me to have learned about community. So I'm going to share just like a few parenting things and relate that to community. So when I'm talking about my kids, I'm also talking about inclusive relationship with anybody that you know. So just, you know, think outside of children. So the day that Addie was born, something happened in me, that I did not expect. So when we brought her home, you know, you're like a sleep deprived, hormonal, crazy person. You're just, you know, you think of moms being emotional or whatever. I know it happens, still sometimes. But I would stand by her crib at night and just like cry. And it wasn't because I was tired, which I was. And I would just cry like openly, like not like, oh, the sweet, like glistening tear. I'd be like, wah! Like ugly crying. And I still do that sometimes when my kids are asleep. I go and I look at them in their rooms and I still am like bawling my eyes out. Someday I will hopefully get over that, but I don't know that I will. And my kids are big and I'm still standing at their bedside crying. And it wasn't because I was like, oh, I just had a baby. Oh, it's so precious. It was like something, God did something in me that just shattered me. And I would stand there and cry because I would look at Addie's innocence as a baby and I would cry because I would see that and I would know that other babies as innocent as her were not being cared for, that were laying in their beds crying and nobody was coming for them, that there were babies who weren't getting fed and not getting changed and not getting loved and who were unsafe. And I couldn't even handle it. I was just like, I need all the babies, like just crying and crying and crying. And I still do that because I look at my kids and think, there are kids who don't have what my kids have, who are scared at home right now. They're not sleeping peacefully in their beds. They're terrified. And that has broken my heart in a way that I will never recover from. It grew a compassion in me that I will never recover from. And I think we need more of that. More compassion that we can't come back from ever. And when we encounter people like that, Addie became part of my world, my everyday world. And when we encounter people and We let them become part of our world. Something in us changes towards them. And we just soften because God just grows something in us that makes it personal. They are now a person that is part of our world, that is part of our heart. And I think when that happens, we see people. Like we really see them. It's like when you buy a new car and then all of a sudden you see like all these people on the road driving the same car as you, right? Like you would have not ever noticed them. But because something was personal to you and became part of your world, you see them. And it's the same with a lot of things. When something happens to you or you have an experience, all of a sudden, like your eyes are open to all these groups of people. And I think that that's our nature. I think God put community in us. I mean, in Genesis, he said, it isn't right for man to be alone. And Eve showed up, right? She could have been like, I'm an independent woman. I'm good. I got it over here by myself. Like, but she didn't because God knew that we needed each other. We don't always know what to do with each other, but we need each other. And that's our nature that God has put deep down in us is to be with people. And we want to find those commonalities. But when we do that in a really raw, authentic way, we let people into our world. And that changes us because it lets God do something in our heart that we can't do without it, real experiences with people. And so we've talked a lot about being known. And that's hard. We don't always want people to know us. But the being known part of us is what creates those experiences. So at the risk of being very vulnerable, I am going to be very known by you. Because when we can say, I relate to you, and you are part of my world now, change happens, right? So I'm a stay-at-home mom, and I have three kids. I am the daughter of divorced parents. I have seen domestic violence and drug use. I have an adopted child. I have a transgender child. I have a kid with anxiety and ADHD. I have depression, and I take medication. I have been a cutter in the past. I yell at my kids and my husband. I have thrown furniture into the bushes in my yard out of anger. I have stomped many wicker baskets. We don't buy wicker anymore. I get a little ragey sometimes. But I have a very full life. Right? But I'm a real person and I have real stuff. And when you hear that you're a real person who has stuff and this person has real stuff, God changes the world, right? So I have a different community right now than I would have thought I would have had 5 years ago. I have a huge support system of adoptive moms because we get each other. I have a community of friends in the LGBTQ community, and people message me all the time to say, can I talk to you? Because they can, because they know that I'm open about my experiences. And, you know, when someone says, I'm really feeling down, and I'm like, hey, I'm medicated today. It's fine. They're like, oh my gosh, okay. Like, we're all just a mess. But, you know, we kind of want to package that in, like, a cute meme. We like this kind of, like, endearingly messy portrayal of ourselves. It's, like, looks cute on the internet rather than, like, I am so emotionally overwhelmed. I feel like a crazy person. That's not cute. Nobody wants to say that, you know? Nobody makes a meme out of, like, I'm emotionally or mentally unstable right now. Or I want to run away from my family. Or I don't want to be around people. Like, those are not cute things. They're not like, oh, messy hair, don't care. That's okay. But, you know, that's not putting it out there in a really authentic way. And when we do that, we connect with people. So the first lesson, that was a really long first lesson, guys, is when we experience people and we let them into our world, they become our people. And their cause becomes our cause, and our heart becomes God's heart. So that's the first thing. So from being a mom, I have also learned that you can be in community with people who take advantage of you, who are ungrateful for the things that you do for them, who insult you in every kind of way, who are lazy and unhelpful, who are rude, people who do not listen to you, people who are defiant, people who are unrepentant for their attitudes. You can be in relationship with people who just are undesirable. We can be graciously inclusive in our relationships with those people. And I am not saying let people abuse you. So hear that. I am not saying don't have any boundaries. If you get anything out of today, I'm not saying that. I'm saying sometimes we are afraid of people taking advantage of us because we're focusing on people taking as a negative. But when we focus on, if we look at it more as people are accepting what we are giving, then you can't really be taken advantage of. And people are going to hurt you. But God's heart is that we keep coming back and we keep relentlessly coming back for restoration and relationship, because that's God's heart. So when I was a kid, we had this movie, and this is like a super cheesy, like focus on the family movie. Okay. This is nothing you've probably ever seen on real TV anywhere. But like the part of the movie is that there's these kids, or they're teenagers, I guess, or whatever, and they like do good in their community. So there's like two best friends, and one moves away to the big scary city and joins a gang. Okay, this is just hear me. This is really cheesy. And then he comes back, and he's different, right? He's not about the community anymore. And the best friend, Scott and Pete. At one point, you know, the kid who went away and came back and is really struggling, he just is trying to push this old best friend away. He doesn't want people to really see that he doesn't love himself. Like, he doesn't love what he's doing. He doesn't love his choices. He's just trying to hurt him, right? He's just trying to. And at one point, you know, Scott, the old best friend, has this brand new bike he bought. And his friend says, well, what if I just take that from you? And Scott hands it to him and says, here, now you don't have to take it. And that's really stuck with me for a long time. I haven't probably watched that movie more than a couple times in like the last 20 years. But that's always stood with me, like, here, now you don't have to take it from me because I'm gifting it to you. So it's really hard for people to take advantage of you when you're gifting your time and your efforts and your energy and your affections. So yes, still have boundaries, but let them be wide. being with kids, like, they can be awful to you. Insulting. My kids have said things to me that I'm like, what? One time when I think it was Addie when she was little, was like, Mom, you should just go lay in the road. I'm like, to get run over? Like, is that what you're saying? Like, just, I don't know. Like, kids just say awful things. And then they get over it and they're like, let's make cookies together. And you're like, you just told me to get in the road. But you know, that is mild. Like, I've heard all the things you can hear. Go lay in the road. But when you're just relentlessly invested in a relationship, I come back. I'm not like, well, you said go lay in the road, so cut off. That's it. But I think when it's with our peers, we're like, oh, you did this to me. Like, So we're done now. I'm not going to keep coming back. But when we're that invested, love can win. And sometimes we take a break. And sometimes we suffer through a really hard storm. And sometimes we wait on God for reconciliation. But we don't walk away. We keep coming back to that place of inclusion. Because God does that with us, right? So much. So the second lesson is that I cannot control the actions of others, but I can control my response. And I can keep coming back. Because I cannot control my children. I can guide them. I can teach them. And they can still act like total jerks. And that is not a reflection on me. It's human nature. People will be people. People are going to mess up like so royally. And we are going to mess up. And I can't control what you're going to do, but I can control how I respond to you and how much I fight for that relationship and inclusion and community. So that's number two. The third thing, and this is a big thing in parenting for us, is connect before you correct. That's a big thing that we talk about in our house a lot. Connect before you correct, because I think we like to correct people. We like to let people know how less right than us they are, you know, or how we can fix things, how we can change things, how we can, right? Are there any correctors out there? Do you hear? Okay, good. Thank you. I am a corrector. I want to like talk about it. I want to, with my kids, right? I'm like, guys, let's have a meeting. Let's have a family meeting. But when I'm dealing with my kids, if I'm just correcting all their many, many behaviors, and I can't just nag them because that would be a full-time job for me. Just correcting, correcting, correcting. But if I'm not connected with them, they don't hear me. It's as if I'm speaking in tongues. Okay? They don't care what I'm saying. And it's the same with you guys, right? If I come up to you and just try to tell you what's what about everything, and we don't have a relationship, you're going to look at me like, what? And I have had that happen many times where I'm like, I can appreciate what you're saying. I don't agree. I'm more confused about why you're saying it to me. Because we're not in relationship with each other. I just met you at Costco or whatever. Like, and I think that I can talk all day long to my children. And until we're connected, they don't hear me. And until we're connected, I don't see what's underneath their behavior. So this is a real life example. Let's say once upon a time, there was an Addie. And her leggings are not the right leggings. And so it began in the land, a meltdown. And Addie is in her room screaming and yelling and throwing all the leggings everywhere and saying, you know, these are not the right pants. I hate you. You never buy me the right pants. Why don't you ever wash my clothes? I'm like, what? How do you have these pants if I have not washed your clothes? Like, there's no logic. Just yelling, like, get out of my life. Get out of my room. Blah. Like, total just losing it. And I'm like, we need to go to school in like 10 minutes. And you have no clothes on. We hate all the clothes. We also hate Target for making these pants that do not fit properly. And whatever. Like, we hate everybody at this point. And just screaming crazy person, right? So I think when people get that way, our natural response is to match them and yell back or say, you are being ridiculous. Put on these pants or whatever, or go to school naked, or just, you know, obviously we can't go to school naked, but you know, you get crazy and you start taking all the things away and you're like, well, I'm never going to buy you pants again. And you know, right? It's easy to just match people's level of agitation with our own. Our natural tendency is not to want to hug a tornado, right? Because that is what Addie is like when she is frustrated. It's like trying to even hug her is like I have to move around the room. And so in this real life scenario, I just hugged her and she didn't want to be hugged. She wanted me to get out of her life, remember? And also never go to Target again. Not going to happen. So I'm hugging her and she's mad at me for hugging her. She doesn't want that because she's hurt and angry, and it would be easy for me to be angry at her and just see her behavior, right? So hugging her, not talking. Zero talking is happening because she can't hear me. And so I'm just hugging her quietly and kind of trying to, you know. And then she kind of gets to this point where she just starts crying. And crying and just kind of melts into me. And I'm just like, Addie, what's going on? The day before, someone had said they didn't like her outfit. And she felt all this pressure to look perfect at school. That is a lot different than defiant and rude and ridiculous and ungrateful for your leggings, right? That's a hurt person saying, I don't know how to tell you that I am hurt unless you connect with me. When we see people's behavior and we don't look at what's driving it and we just correct, there's no room for community. It's a disservice to community to do that. And I think that when Jesus put on skin, moved into the neighborhood, he really got messy with people. And he didn't just look at what they were doing, but he ate at their house. He hung out with them. He lived with them. He traveled with them. He did real life things with them. He could have just showed up and said, you need to do this and this and this. Done. Right? But he didn't. He got messy and let those people be part of his world. So I think connecting before we correct gives people space to be known and be real and to let God create relationship. So I only have one more lesson because I know you guys are probably like, man, this is super long. The last one is a big one for me. This has been like the hardest lesson of parenting of all time. Kids, and when I say kids, I mean people, will illuminate your stuff. People will shine a big giant flashlight on all of your stuff. All your junk you're carrying around, they're just going to shine a light right on it for everybody to see, and you're not going to like it. And conflict happens because you're like, you want to shy away from the light, right? So kids will bring out all the things in you. They're really good at it. It's their nature. God knows what he's doing when he gives you children. He's like, you need to deal with your stuff. Here's a bunch of crazy kids. So all the good stuff you're carrying around, all the bad stuff you're carrying around, it will become blaringly obvious when you are in relationship with people. You cannot hide from it. So that's a real true relationship. If that's not out there, you're not really in relationship with somebody. That's just the reality of it. That's, yes, thank you, sister. If you think that you can be an authentic community and not have your mess be seen, you are mistaken. And you will have a rude awakening. Try having some kids. I've learned more truth about myself having kids than ever in my entire life. I think, you know, as parents, we're like, we're going to be teaching them something. No, they have taught me so much about my authentic self and what is underneath all those layers that I've built up over time. And they just rip those off like a Band-Aid. It doesn't peel off. They just rip it right off. And you're like, well, there it is. And you have two choices. You can run away or you can face it head on and deal with it. a lot of people like to run away from community because they don't like the pain of the Band-Aid getting ripped off, right? Nobody likes that. I learned a lot about trauma through having kids with trauma. I've been to a lot of trainings through DHS and whatever, and I'm like, I think they're talking about me. I'm like writing all this stuff down. This is supposed to be for my kids. I'm like, oh, yeah, okay. Sounds like me. I have trauma. Who knew, right? I have faced and dealt with my own depression because being a traumatized kid, raising a traumatized kid is hard. Being a depressed mom, raising a depressed, anxious child is hard. One of you has to deal with something, and it should probably be the adult. And when we're in community, maybe everybody should deal with their stuff, right? But we can only deal with ourselves. But it's forced me to face things that maybe I didn't even recognize needed to be faced. And that's scary sometimes because we don't know what to do with it. And there's a reason we try to push it back, right? Because we don't want to have to feel negative things. We don't have to want to deal with messy things. That's not fun and sunny and happy. It's hard, hard work. Relationship and community is hard, hard work. I think God also uses my kids and other people in your life to bring what is dark in you into the light. And when that happens, don't shy away from the light. Just soak it up. Because God already knows. He already sees. You already know. Now everybody knows. Who cares? I always just think, what is the worst thing that could happen? And if you can accept that worst thing, what do you have to lose? Like today, you guys could say, that was the worst thing I ever heard. And that would not be the worst thing I've ever heard. So it doesn't really matter. I'm not scared of that because I know my stuff and I know you guys have stuff. And my stuff's just out there. So God can deal with it. And he will, and he can defeat it. He basically wants us to bring each other's stuff out so that we can face it, defeat it, move on. And that sounds really cute, right? Like, oh yeah, boom, 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 done. It is not that easy, but it is worth it. It's worth the investment. And God has always followed through on what he started in me. Every single time, even when I'm like, what are you doing? I don't see how this is going to ever be completed. And some of it maybe never will because it's a continuous process, right? But God is always faithful. And I feel like I have a lot of ands and statements in my life. This really sucks. And God is faithful. Those can both exist in my life. And usually, I'm not saying sucks, but this is really a lot of things I can't say in church, and God is faithful. And I think that it's okay to say, this is really hard, and God is going to use it. Yeah, it's better than butts. But when we're relentlessly committed to people, we value the work. We value the work in ourselves and we value the work in others. And we are thankful for the people God's given us. I know I'm thankful for my community. I'm thankful for my kids who bring out the best and absolute worst in me. So I'm not going to preach forever. I'm going to be done in a minute, but I just wanted to like tag a couple super quick things on. One is that My kids are never impressed by my ideas or my appearance or how great I am at ironing cloth napkins or folding laundry or sweeping up their many crumbs off the floor. They don't care about that. They probably don't even notice, honestly. They are never impressed by that. They are impressed by the time that I spend with them doing life things, like watching them play outside. They're always like, "Mom, Mom, Mom, look at this." Like, I haven't seen them swing on that rope 1,000 times. This is going to be the time it's different, though, right? This one time, it's going to be better, right? And we are like, "Hey, guys, guys, guys." We want that. But they're not impressed by the things. They're impressed by the time investment. People just want to be with people, I think. And I'm an introvert, and sometimes I don't want to be with people. Sometimes I want to sit in a room with people and just not talk to them, right? I'm like, I can be with you, but can we just not, like, interact? Can we just stare at each other? You know, but people are made to be with people, and we want to be with people we feel connected to. So that's how we create community, by being, just being regular people. None of us in here are probably going to do anything super extraordinary in our life. Like, that's kind of a downer thing to say, but like, you're not going to be awesome. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying, like, you're probably not going to be famous. You're probably not going to do something that people, like, erect statues in your honor for, right? Like, I am probably not. I don't know about you. I will probably not do anything great. But quoting loosely Mother Teresa, we do small things with great love. So I'm not gonna do anything extraordinary probably, but I can do a lot of regular, ordinary things with extraordinary amounts of love. And the second last thing, is that a thing? The second last thing. And this is a quote that I love, and I found it when my kids were little, and I do not always live by this, so just know, okay? I'm not like, well, because I have mastered this, let me pass it on to you. That is not what's happening. But it's raise your words, not your voice. It's the rain that grows the flowers, not the thunder. And I love it because it's true. Do I yell at my kids? Yes, I do. Is it effective? No, it is not. I think we live in a world where there's a lot of people yelling a lot of things. And because we live in a world with the internet and social media, you can say whatever you want, whenever you want, and no one really knows you. So you can just kind of put it all out there. It used to be that you had to do those things in person, in social settings. You would go to a party and there would always be a couple people who just loudly need to tell everyone their opinions about everything. And nobody liked that guy. Don't be that guy. Don't be that guy at the party. Because I think when we're allowed to be so anonymous in the world that we live in, and just we're all fighting to be heard, to shout the loudest, right? Raise your voice. Raise your words, not your voice. Ask questions with people. Get to know them. Listen to them, but not for the sake of responding to them. I need to be better at asking people questions to try to understand their situation and listen better. I need to assume less and judge less. And I think when we do that, we can kind of come to the garden of conversation, because that's where the flowers are going to grow, is when we can say, I don't understand you. I might not know very much about you, but we can have a conversation together. And it's not us yelling our views at each other. It's not us, you know, one-upping each other. It's not me responding and listening for the sake of me getting to the point of that I'm right. It's saying, let's just have a conversation so that we can grow something here, so that God can grow something here, because those are the things that change the world. It's not the big things. It's the conversations. It's the letting people into your world. It's the connection, right? Love God, love people with all your passion, all your prayer, all your intelligence. So I have a song that I'm not going to sing it. I have a song that I'm gonna do a little medley for you. I have a song that Sam is going to play off his phone for you. I really could have just skipped the sermon, played the song, and it would have said the same thing. So you're welcome. You get all of it. But I really want us to kind of meditate on the words of this song and let it really like sink in to us. You know, if you want to close your eyes, whatever, but really listen, because it's super simple, but it's really powerful, I think, when we can get past letting everyone know what we think and believe so that we can love people. We bring the kingdom. So, Sam, go ahead.